The question I'd like to ask both of you is, in the realm of public education, where does equity fit in terms of providing the kind of education we want for all our children? Where are we on the debate of equity, and where does that fit in terms of policymaking?
By equity, you mean from school district to school district, or do you mean people from different backgrounds?
It probably is all of that, huh?
Well, I'd say this is where good national standards would help everybody. If we had good national standards that were not too burdensome, then this is a case where people at the local level can evaluate the kids who are coming to their school and address their needs individually and still meet and still have success at getting them excited about science, getting them to embrace science as an important part of their lives. So if I understand your question, it's empowering officials and teachers locally with guidance and, if I may, funding provided federally. And so this balance between local authority and national authority is what I think we need to work on, and where I think No Child Left Behind had some trouble, was requirements without the authority or the ability or the resources to meet those requirements.
You almost answered the question, but let me phrase it in my way and refer to your kind of description. Number one, I think we have to have equal expectations, and that's where Bill's absolutely correct. The standards and assessment across this country in the name of federal legislation are not equal. They are too diverse. I mean, all you need to do is read the reports that 6% success in one district is a 94% success or a state in another state. So that's not equity to begin with. But assuming we have that, and I think we can achieve that if we just have the political will to do it, then we have to think about the students themselves. And I think we have to be very careful of how we think and define equity. And we must think of equity not just as input, or to use your word, treatment. And we have to think about equity of achievement or equity of output. And that means when the output is not what we would say is equal across all groups of students, then we have to upgrade, increase, improve, and I'll use your terminology, the treatment, the instruction, the support, the time spent with those students. That's what we have to think about. So part of our problem is simply the inability to carefully, and I think equitably, define equity, not as input, but as what students achieve, or to put it in almost engineering terms, the output.
To the chair, if I may, the last comment or question. What if we assess each child at the age of 3 through whatever assessments we have at hand and funded each child accordingly? Would that be equity?
Wow.
I think it's rhetorical. No. I mean, it doesn't sound like it. If I understand, it's analogous to one vote per person. You're saying
No, that's parity.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I'm saying if you assess each child's different. Therefore, each child needs different kinds of attention and resources. Then there would be different amounts of money and efforts behind each child. And if that's the case, then are we meeting that child's, at least developing a roadmap for the child that's pertinent to each, that one child? If we go through each child, then would that be considered equity?
I'd have to give that some thought.
Okay.
This I can tell you. The so-called individual lesson plan, the ILP, has become a real burden for many teachers because there's an effect that may not have been anticipated, where one student has an individualized lesson plan, his or her parents find out about it, his or her parents of another student find out about it, and they want an individualized lesson plan for their for his or her student, and then it becomes becomes a burden. So this is where, once again, I'm not sure I'm addressing your question directly, but I'll give us something to think about. Once again, we need standards that are usable for a very large number of students so that it is equitable.
So it's burdensome for us to...
Right now.
No, it's burdensome for us to understand that each child has different kinds of needs, and developing an individual plan for each child is not necessary, or it doesn't go towards equity because it's burdensome on the system. Now, are we worried more about the system and the infrastructure and the cost of it, or are we worried about figuring out what the child needs? It challenges us to, as a policymaker, to step outside the box, and rather than being confined within the current structure, and I understand the current structure is that we end up having parents and school boards fighting for the best interest of the child and spending a lot of money. That's burdensome. And yet the time of the child moves on and on and on. Well, we know good and well through the assessment what that child really needs, but we can't afford it. Now I'm asking the question, you know, should we be challenging ourselves as a society to find ways to make that affordable?
Well, here's the thing. Think about your favorite teachers. They were passionate. And I claim that very good teachers had a feel or an intuition, or perhaps it was cognitive. They thought about it and made notes, where they provided each child with an individual lesson plan. Where each, they taught each, they still, they taught, they do teach each child individually. Each child, they engage each child and they give that kid what he or she needs. What's happened right now, and I think we have an opportunity to make things better, is that intuition now has to be documented, has to be spelled out, and records have to be kept. And that's costing the teacher the most precious thing he or she has, his or her time. And so that, I think, as I understand it, this is these are anecdotes from people I've spoken with over the last, let's call it, 12 years. This is something we could improve.
Thank you, Mr. Honda. Thank you very much.